The Summer of Football at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
To be part of a great team, here's Hilton blitzing off the slot again. Patrick Hopkins, oh my goodness. Did he catch that? Did he catch that? That's the touchdown catch of the year.
Shotgun snap. Swing pass. Left side curly on the screen. 20. Got a block. 25. Into space. 40.
And he's
Todd Gurley hits the jet midfield.
He's gone.
Todd Gurley. 20. 10. Gurley for MVP. Touchdown LA.
Early stages. Second quarter. Popped up in the air. Intercepted. Eddie Jackson. Jackson is still going. Another defensive highlight. Touchdown Bears.
The Summer of Football.
Rob gets it. Hands off to Sony Michel. What a hole down the right side. 10-5. Touchdown. Sony Michel rips off another big one. This time for 38 yards.
Breaking into open field and on the run is Josh Adams. Josh Adams. Inside the 30 and the 20 and the 10 and all the way home for yet another super run.
Here's Barkley. Big hole. Left side 20. He's to the 30. Avoids the tackle down the far left sideline. They can't catch him. 10-5. Barkley high steps it across the goal line. 92-yard touchdown run.
The Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It is the Summer of Football. Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood. Also on Snapchat, Snap Jay Hood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back. Guaranteed. Glad that you're with us here on this Monday night. Every night, 8 o'clock, we talk something football. Could be college, could be pro, could be something for just entertainment purposes only. You just never know. We got stuff for you when it comes to the NFL and college football. Tonight, we're going to hear from John Moon Mullen from NBC Sports Chicago. We'll talk to him coming up in 6 minutes here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We also have Tales from the Hood at the bottom of the hour. And so when it comes to the Bears and the 32 NFL backfields, you see this from Mike Clay from ESPN.com. Let me see if I can get myself in the mood here. We got to get ourselves in the mood because I have some names here. And I think about the best backfields in the National Football League. Aren't the Bears in that somewhere? They have to be, right? Can I wait for, I don't know, Sunday Night Football? Oh, yes. Mike Clay from ESPN.com ranking all 32 NFL backfields and the projections in 2018 outlook. The number one team in the National Football League as far as backfields, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Terrence West, the New Orleans Saints. You know, you'd never think you'd ever say that in years past, but the Saints with the number one rushing attack. Think about all the teams, usually teams that played in the cold, teams that had to rely on the running game. But you didn't think a turf team half the time would be a team that would be the number one rushing team in the NFL. But they have them ranked number one, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. 386 carries, 1,700 yards, 16 touchdowns, 122 receptions. Number one, the Saints. Number two is the Los Angeles Rams. You know why? Because my guy, Georgia's own Todd Gurley, along with John Kelly. He used to work at Channel 5, John Kelly, I remember. And Malcolm Brown, big Adam's apple. So the Rams with number two on the list, 374 carries, 1,636 yards, 13 touchdowns. Number three on this list as far as backfields in the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's more like it. Yeah, cold weather. Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, Jalen Samuels, 379 yards, 1,600 yards. Let's see, 379 carries, 1,600 yards, 12 touchdowns, 88 receptions, 704 yards. The Atlanta Falcons are fourth in this list with Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And Ito Smith, that is the kid who was named after Judge Ito from the O.J. Simpson case. You read this, right?
Yes, I did. I forgot about that.
So weird. And Judge Ito is definitely rooting for him because Judge Ito says, I got a new guy or a new team I'm rooting for. The Ito Smith, the running back for the Falcons, named after Judge Ito.
I could see Judge Ito being a downhill runner. Like, he's going to run through you.
It's crazy. The Dallas Cowboys are five. That makes sense, right? Ezekiel Elliott, Tavon Austin, Rod Smith, 398 carries, 1,700 yards, 14 touchdowns. The Cardinals are sixth in this list. David Johnson, Chase Edmonds, right? 11 touchdowns and four touchdowns receiving the football. So 1,500 yards of carries for the Cardinals, almost 360 yards. The Titans are seventh on this list. The Browns are eighth. Duke Johnson, Nick Chubb. The Browns are eighth? Huh.
Hmm.
Huh. 341 carries, 1,400 yards. Kansas City Chiefs are ninth on this list. Of course, Kareem Hunt, as well as Spencer Ware. They're ninth. Number 10 on this list is the New England Patriots. Now, hold on a second. Would you take the Patriots? And I love Sonny Michel because, of course, Georgia guy, right? They have Sonny Michel, James White, and Rex Burkhead. Would you rate them over the number 11 team, the Bills? LeSean McCoy, Chris Ivory, 378 yards, 378 carries, 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns. Sonny Michel still has a lot to prove.
I feel like both guys on the Bills are better than all three of the Patriots running backs.
And Sonny Michel, again, as a Georgia Bulldog, tremendous.
He can fly. He's
tremendous. Fat. I just don't know how that works already that the Patriots are top 10 in running the football. Maybe because they have a unique and strong offensive line. Maybe they just project that running game is going to be solid. Bills 11th, Giants 12th with Saquon Barkley. So looking for the Bears. 13, Jaguars, Leonard Fournette. That's all you need. And then T.J. Yeldon. That's all you need, right? 14 touchdowns rushing for the Jaguars last year. 425 carries. Projected unit stats for them. The Vikings are 14th. Dalvin Cook, Latavius Murray, Mac Brown. They project something like 11 touchdowns, 80 receptions, 3 touchdowns for those three. So, and finally, you get to the Bears. Bears, middle of the pack, pretty much, 15th. Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Benny Cunningham. Let's see what they say about the Bears. Mike Clay's piece on ESPN.com, when they project the 2018 outlook of the 32 NFL backfields. Howard and Cohen form one of the league's most intriguing young duos, but there's a reason why the two recent mid-round picks aren't ranked higher here. Howard has been a great rusher since entering the league in 2016, ranking fifth in carries, 528, and third in rushing yards, 2,400. But he's not well-rounded. While Howard's efficiency dropped from elite as a rookie to solid in 2017, he has been one of the league's worst receiving backs, 5.4 career yards per target. Well, so far the analysis is fair. How many times did we see a Bears game where Jordan is right there on the doorstep, right, and just not being able to just bring it in? Like 5-yard passes and then dropping the ball or not being able to get in. I like Jordan Howard. I don't like that aspect of his game. That's got to improve. And I know that Matt Nagy's not going to deal with that. Like, you're going to keep dropping the football. Like, Foxy, if he wants to deal with that, that's fine. But Nagy's like, I'm already know that if he's dropping the football in key spots on third down, fourth down, and you're trying to go to him on swing passes and he's dropping the ball, like, okay, we'll just go to Tariq. I'm just saying, like, you can't keep going that direction. Cohen was an explosive playmaker as a rookie, but a deeper look shows 1.3 yards. 1.3 yards on the yak. Wow. Second worst at the position. And shaky, 5.26 yards per target. Cohen simply isn't built for anything more than a change of pace role. There's some red flags here, but also massive upside, especially in new coach Matt Nagy's offense. Fair. And if that's 15th, and if that's better than the Panthers and the Eagles and some of these other teams that's on here, that's fine. Because there's room to grow in that regard. That's okay. I just thought that number was interesting. 15th. They project the Bears' rushing attack. 332 carries, 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns, 97 receptions. Because you know that Trubisky is going to have a lot of swing passes, a lot of five and dime passes to running backs. Hopefully the Jordan Howard can catch some of those passes. 97 receptions, good for 773 yards and 3 touchdowns. So they expect 13 touchdowns from running backs in 2017, 2018. Okay. I think, you know what, Eric? Middle of the pack is not bad, but clearly there's need for a room of improvement with this.
When you first say the list, I think they, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, they'd be higher. But when I look at it, the only team above them that I think potentially should be below them are the Patriots when it comes to the running backs. Otherwise, all those other teams, their 2-3 running backs do stack up a little bit better than the Bears.
I guess they think ESPN believes that the Patriots' offensive line will be good enough to be able to help Sony Michel. And again, I'm a big Sony Michel fan as a Georgia guy. I just don't see how the Patriots running attack as a whole is better than the Bears. Unless they just think that Howard can't catch the ball anymore.
Which, anymore, or period, just or period. Ever.
Right, so we'll keep our eyes on that. But there's this interesting piece from ESPN.com ranking all 32 NFL backfields. As you're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Summer of Football, glad that you're with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we go to NBC Sports Chicago and talk to John Moon-Mullen as we get ready for Bears camp to open up pretty soon. He joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Moon, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, Jonathan, we go back a while. It's good to talk to you.
Absolutely. I was just going through, here's how I'm so ready for football season, going through ranking all 32 NFL backfields. From ESPN.com.
And that can be cured with early detection and medication, pal. You might want to get yourself into therapy. Get yourself into a counseling session somewhere.
We're ready for Bears season, that's for sure, when I'm reading that, and I'm debating whether or not the Patriots or the Bears have the better running attack. As I just told you, it's interesting.
But you're okay. I mean, it's always football season and 5 o'clock somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it always is. Especially in Chicago. You know, somebody once said that. I think Chicago, there's four or five pro teams, but the Bears are 50% of the interest, and that's when they're not even doing well. So, yeah, I mean, and I think with camp starting up in barely a week, I mean, there's going to be growing interest in it. You know, with the new coaching staff. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of interest, and I think there's going to be a lot of interest around the NFC North. I'm like, what are they doing over there in Chicago? And maybe they're already starting to worry about, like, Bull and Jonathan Hood, and, hey, let's worry about that backfield, you know?
it's interesting. So you've covered so many of these, Moon, when it comes to the Bears. Does it always feel new to you as an observer when a new coach comes in? Are you always curious, because with Nagy, it doesn't have that Trestman feel. It feels even, and you know that feel I'm talking about. I mean, that itchy feel, you know, when it's you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So with Nagy, does it feel different to you this upcoming camp?
Yeah, it does. But you're right, though, Jonathan. It always does feel new, and I actually don't like it. I mean, since I don't like it, I mean, we're professionals, and you just cover the team in front of you, and anytime there's a new coach, you know, it usually is in the wake of something really bad. Well, certainly the Trestman thing and arguably the Fox thing. I wouldn't say that about Lovie. You know, that's still one of the wrong turns this organization's made over the last decade or so. But it doesn't get old. And I think maybe if people can just appreciate kind of what we do, and we have the luxury and the good fortune to be covering, you know, one of the entertainment arts, and it's like going to the symphony. You know, it's like sometimes it's better than others. And, you know, if you really like it, then it's always interesting. You know, there's days when it's boring, but everybody's job, you know, Tuesday afternoon at 2:37, and I worked in a steel mill. It was, you know, getting through some of those days were bad. So we all go through them, but I think there's always a new interest. And I think maybe more this year, even though we've had an offensive coach come in the form of Trestman, as you said, but I don't know about you, but it certainly felt this on the inside, and I think on the outside, it felt weird. There was something like, I'm not sure that all the threads are going to line up here.
Mm-hmm.
This time, and I would say the biggest thing that it impresses me is where he comes from. Again, it doesn't mean we're getting Andy Reid, but I want somebody who has really learned at the foot of a master. And I don't think I was talking to Brian Urlacher today just about old things and how amazing it is that cover two defense and the West Coast offense, if you run them well, you know, the 46 kind of came and went and the run and shoot kind of came and went. I mean, different forms. But there's something about this, and I where Matt Nagy comes from is one of the great coaches of our lifetimes. You know, it doesn't get quite the acclaim, obviously, as the double B up in New England, but mm-hmm. you know, he's bringing the system in, and he's seen how it should run. You know, he knows what a winner should look like. Again, he could turn out to be Josh McDaniels, but I don't think so. And that's why it's kind of imagine that a long-winded answer from me. but yeah, I think there is a level of interest because of his pedigree. And I think for a lot of people, well, he's not John Fox, so let's be excited about that.
Moon Mullen from NBC Sports Chicago with Jonathan Hood on Summer of Football on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I guess the reason why it has a feel that's fresher is because it's one thing to have a new head coach, but you're coming in with weapons. It's not where the cupboard's bare. How many times have we covered mm-hmm. Bears teams, Moon, where it's a new coach and he's got this system and it's going to take some time? Yes, it will take time, but he's coming in with Allen Robinson, with Trey Burton. That's the difference. There's actually weapons for him to utilize rather than just coming in with the cupboard bare.
Yeah, I'd feather the brakes on that just a little bit. And here's why. If you remember when Trustman came in, the weapons that Jay Cutler had,
mm-hmm.
Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, how'd that work out? Not so good.
Well, so that's only because Trustman was in the way in practice, though. He was running the drills with the players. You do recall this, right?
Oh, yeah. But it's, you know, and we all know it's the players. It's always, you know, the coach, I mean, yeah, a coach can ruin something or make something a little better, but it's the players. So my point is people always say, well, you know, got to give Jay Cutler weapons. Man, they gave him a whole quiver of poison-tipped arrows, and he couldn't win with them. You know, they went 8-8 or should have gone better than that.
Right.
But I guess that's my point. And a bigger point, if you want to pull the camera back, I think it's not as important what the weapons they gave him, because I would argue that weapon assortment that Cutler had in 13-14 was way bigger than what, you know, Allen Robinson, well, Kobe's knee's okay, and, you know, slot receiver, great, you know, Taylor Gabriel, is Trey Burton, Martellus Bennett, I don't know, and Matt Forte, Jordan Howard's been fine, but I guess my point is the real issue is not the weapons that they surrounded him with. It's what kind of a weapon Mitch Trubisky becomes. And, you know, we're talking about New England and just, you know, with the running backs and so forth. One of the reasons New England's running game is so good is because of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You can't stack anything against that offense. And I think they need from a quarterback the guy who makes everybody else a weapon. You know, the great quarterbacks, don't they kind of lift all boats? It's, you know, I think we saw in Chicago, wow, they get Jay just needs more weapons. No, if he's not that guy, then no amount of weapons is going to help you. And so that's, to me, there are two biggest things. One is Trubisky good enough? You know, you put weapons around him, great. But is he good enough? And the second big variable is, along with, is your quarterback. The second biggest, as Buddy Ryan would say, is getting their quarterback. Mm-hmm. And do they have enough of a pass rush? But, yeah, we'll get, you know, with the weapons, great, but you can't win with it. You're not going to win a lot with a quarterback who only completes 59% of his passes. So Trubisky has to be better and make those weapons even better.
Moon, do you like this? I liked this defense somewhat last year, where I thought at times, boy, that's a postseason defense. At times that you saw them and said, well, that's really what I would see in a postseason for a first round. What do you think mm-hmm. of the defense coming in here with some of the additions and young players?
Well, I like it a lot. I like Smith. I like the fact that they might be able to move Kwiatkowski around. I think they've got the linebacker depth, which in a 3-4 is, that's kind of a big deal. And, you know, with Hicks and Goldman, you've got a couple of studs on the D line. And if you win up front, you're going to win a lot of places. I'm not quite so sure I buy that Adrian Amos is the number two safety. I saw some, you know, Pro Football Focus or one of those services ranked him as the second highest graded safety. Okay, well, all right, fine, but you got to intercept a pass once in a while, son. There's a lot of pieces, and I guess, you know, so often a great unit has to have, I mean, it's got to be not just great fingers but a fist, and they've also got Goldman and Hicks, and I think Leonard Floyd's going to be a stud. Dan Trevathan, if he can stay healthy, the pieces are really there. But they also, just to, let's feather the brakes there a little bit too, they lost over one-third, they had 42 sacks. Well, they lost 14 and a half of them with Pernell McPhee leaving, Willie Young gone, Lamar Houston gone. You know, that's a lot of quarterback pressure in a league that where you have to win by getting after their quarterback too.
When you look at Akeem Hicks as a player, what do you expect from him? Because I thought that was good leadership and quality play more times than not.
Oh, I love the guy. I mean, I think I told him, I said, you're the philosopher king. That corner of the locker room, I love going back there. You know, I'm a big fan. Bright bulb, always has been. Handles winning and losing relatively the same, you know, as a professional. I think, I know he was, he and Willie Young and Leonard Floyd would go out to dinner, the three of them, every week last year before Willie got hurt. You could not pick a better role model or two role models for a young player than somebody like Akeem Hicks, who's been around. He's played in New Orleans, doesn't like to talk about it. He's played in New England. He's been around winning organizations, and he's just a class guy. And I think, again, none of that matters once you get on the field, and I'm not sure he's going to get 8.5 sacks again this year, but that's a heck of a start. I'm not sure when we've had a guy like him that big, able to exert some kind of, bring some pressure in the center. I'm sure there is somebody, but I'm a big fan of him as one of your linchpins, and I think it was one of the great free agency signings of Ryan Pace's era.
Moon, when we look at the NFC North, I don't have it penciled in just as of yet because I haven't made my official predictions, but I got a great feeling about the Vikings going far with the quarterback they have in place with Cousins. I mean, that's some tremendous guaranteed money if you get it. That's just amazing. And so with the Vikings and the Packers now with a new look, no more Ted Thompson, I guess they're going to look a little bit more into free agency more so than the draft over the years. So what's your outlook for the NFC North? Because I see it being very interesting once again this season.
Well, you've got a bunch of good quarterbacks to start with. I mean, you certainly got three that all of, you know, Stafford, Rodgers, excuse me, and Cousins being the least of the three. Yeah, it's funny. I think that's a great point, Jonathan. I think they are really a team to be reckoned with because, honestly, I think they are maybe the best balanced, you know, offense and defensive team in the division. Mm-hmm. They don't have to have, you know, Green Bay without Rodgers is not going to do a whole lot. Detroit without Stafford is not going to do anything. You saw what Case Keenum, who?
Right.
You know, but I think Rick Spielman and that organization has built so well through the draft, the Harrison Smiths and, you know, so many good young players. They took I'm blanking on one of the pass rushers, edge guy, but there's so much balance, quality balance, that if they can win without Cousins being dominant, which I'm not sure any of the other teams in the division could say.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be interesting. Now, again, I based my Bears opinion on, I based it on 7 wins. Now, if they're above that, that's fine. But I think 7 is fair. Is that because now you're 2 better than you were last year? 7's fine. If you're below that, I mean, if you're 6, so fine. But I predicted 7. That sound right to you?
To me, if you would go less than 8, don't show up. No, I'm kidding. It's kind of strong. But no, I mean, I think we're so used to low bars in the last 5 years of coaching. And I know that I understand Nagy, you know, talking about, oh, it takes a while to learn the offense. Although somebody said or wrote or whatever, you know, wow, look, it took 5 years, you know, Nagy, they were in, you know, Reed was 5 years in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Before everybody kind of got it. I think if it takes that long, I don't think Ryan Pace is going to be here, for one. I would hold them to a higher standard. You didn't go out for the number 2 pick in the draft just to go 7-9, I think. You know, that you should expect that guy, you know, going back to what we talked about earlier, he needs to be that good. And if he is, now you're dangerous. Now you're dangerous to the Packers. Now you have somebody, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but maybe your defense is better than Green Bay's, and so you can, if your quarterback is good enough, you can knock off a Green Bay. They've you know, done it. I mean, they did it with Shea McClellan, for God's sake. So,
yeah.
I think it's the best. I would say that, have to think about it, but probably the best overall division, simply because every team, and I'll include the Bears at this point, just on giving rounding up with the new kid. You have three proven quarterbacks who can win games, and that makes a pretty strong kind of division.
Lastly, Moon, and I appreciate your time. I would like for you to tell me, now that John Fox is gone, and it was just, this is not a great situation for him. He's trying to elevate. He made his mistakes. The roster was not great. I wonder, did John have any allies in the press when he was here? It seemed like he was on an island for himself, and he was one of these guys that comes in and says, you know, I know best, and maybe pushing Ryan Pace to the side, like, you know, I'm the veteran here. Let me help you out. And did you think that he had any allies toward the end? Because I don't remember many.
Well, I'd count myself one of those. I thought he was got short shrift. Early on, he made some changes. The problem you have with the media, we all fear change in general, but he was the first head coach since George House who actually had been a head coach. So Fox, I mean, if you're Lovey Smith and you come and, they tell you, well, Lovey, here's how we do things. And then in comes Dick Duran. Well, Lovey, this is how we do things. And Mark, this is how we do things. Fox walks in there and says, no, this is how I do things. Mm-hmm. He'd been a head coach before. And he made some changes, and they were delivered by someone on staff who just basically said, fine, then we won't have any access. I mean, it just got off to such a bad start, and I don't think it ever recovered. And I think the Kevin White thing was so completely misunderstood. And I don't fault Fox for, you know, he was called a liar and all that kind of stuff. That wasn't what happened at all. So I think he got short shrift in a lot of respects, some of it deserved. But bigger picture, if you're a Bear fan, one of the things he had to do was change the culture here. I mean, wasn't it? You didn't have to be close to that team to kind of smell it, didn't you, with the Trestman and Emery thing?
Sure.
So I think you're taking a short view. Somebody's taking a short view if they say there wasn't something positive gained. If nothing else, look at the defense. And then that was, you know, he was a defensive head coach. It wasn't all Vic Fangio. The kind of guys they brought in were people that Fox wanted. So, I'll give you, here's an interesting what if. Suppose they had, and that's just, maybe I would argue that this might be a mistake that Ryan Pace made. If they had brought Jay Cutler back last year at 15 mil or 12.5 or whatever the exact number was versus Mike Glennon, I wonder if we'd be having this conversation about what Fox was like. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think he felt like I can at least win 8 games with Jay Cutler. So you got to wonder. I mean, that's a totally hypothetical. But I think Fox Squad, it was playing with about a 50-card deck sometimes. And not to fault Pace. I mean, made moves. And we talk about Akeem Hicks working out. Leonard Floyd's working out. I mean, a lot of good things. But I don't know that Fox got quite the shake he should have really deserved.
Yeah, I think that anything was better than that NPR feel of Trestman and Emery.
That's a good term for it. That's a kumbaya. It was all kumbaya. You know?
Anything was better than that. A little AC/DC from Fox was fine. Oh. It was good to be able to get that erudite, I know better than you do type of feeling out of Hallis Hall.
Remember, he was going to grow. He was going to grow the man. You know, it's like. And I know he lost. I know guys like Julius Peppers and Lance Briggs after the first team meeting. I'm so out of here. You know, it just he didn't. He had weird protocol. I mean, not that you know, veterans are on a different scale than rookies, but let's face it, they are. There should be some respect. Remember, he was the guy that had different captains every week.
Right.
You know, they didn't. And he appointed them, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember that.
You know. It was weird. I mean, and that kind of stuff matters in a locker room. It just, the culture was just, boy, that thing was so far off any axis that I've ever seen. So, I'm going to steal that line. That's good. that's good, John. It was exactly right. It was like, we're gonna have a seance or a huddle.
Exactly. I think that's good for the book. Put it in there. Your book of coaches. I think it's a winner.
Exactly. All right. Well, I'll credit you in that book. Trust me.
Well, thank you, Boone, as always.
All right.
I owe you a drink when I come down there.
I look forward to it, John. Be well, buddy.
It is Moon Mullen from NBC Sports Chicago. He is with us here on ESPN 1000. And the ESPN app, Tales from the Hood. is next.
Jonathan Hood. And I got what it takes to rock the mic right, yeah. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
I tried to get you, Felix. I couldn't get it.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood is brought to you by the fine folks at... I don't know why I'm doing Tom Brenneman. Bring the music down. Tom Brenneman tells you that Tales from the Hood is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. The Wildcats return to Ryan Field this fall. Sorry. After a 10-win season to host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more, buy tickets now at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, and everything else in between. I don't know why I went Tom Brenneman there.
You caught yourself. You're like, all right, we're just going to run with it.
It's Tales from the Hood. Waddle, Sylvie, the Reds, they're a coming. Don't know why I did that. All right, let's take a look at the stories here from the sports, entertainment, and everything else in between when it comes to Tales from the Hood. IHOP. Eric puts this on
you
top.
You mean IHOB, right?
Yes, Eric puts this story in front of me on the top because I'm fat. So because he wants me to get to
it's
the
It's hot off the presses, actually. It's breaking news. Yeah. Hot off the press.
Here, big man, how about some pancakes? And I'm all about it. Yes,
me too. Love me some pancakes.
IHOP has officially changed its name back from IHOB and is slashing the price of pancakes. IHOP is officially back to its original identity as the International House of Pancakes. Turn the page. IHOP announced on Monday that it's officially changed its name back because they went IHOB, I-H-O-B, because of they want to push their burgers. The chain changed its name to IHOB in June to promote its line of burgers. To celebrate the return of IHOP, the chain's 60th birthday, IHOP is selling a short stack of pancakes for 60 cents on July 17th. Tremendous.
Yeah, that's a deal. And that just confirms what we all knew, that IHOP thing was nothing but a promotional stunt.
It just got everybody mad.
It did. It was effective. Everyone, every radio station, every news network, everything was talking about it.
I was thinking about the IHOP. I guess there's one in Calumet City or is it Lansing, one or the other. But I was thinking, like, if you're really going all in on this IHOB thing, you would have changed the sign. And the signs changed, so it was the same.
Yep, it never changed in my town either. There's one pretty close to my house. It was always IHOP.
So I'm like, this is not even real, man. It's like, you might say it's IHOB, but it's not like you guys are moving that P to the B. Not doing that.
Nope, it took, a month? They just did it for a month. Man, it was effective, though. Let's be real.
If you pardon the expression. Don't move that P to the B. So much. You got so much stuff here. So good. An angry customer sucker punched a gas station clerk. It was the clerk's lucky day. According to Tampa police, a man not even half the age of the 63-year-old David Miller entered the Marathon's station at about 3:30 in the morning on Sunday with the intention of buying booze. But as Miller told the man, alcohol sales stopped at 3 a.m. and he was simply too late. The suspect became confrontational. Tampa police released a complete surveillance video from the store at Miller's urging and shared it on social media. In the video, these two men are seen in what escalates into a verbal altercation for about a minute. And then Miller returns to the alcohol. He returned the alcohol to a cooler. He told the suspect to leave the store. The two continue arguing, and the man got directly in David's face and without provocation punched David, knocking him to the ground.
Oh, wow.
The suspect, wearing patterned shorts and a black T-shirt and white socks and a cap, fled from the Marathon store on foot and was seen walking, according to police. My God turns evil into good. Because he got found, I guess. This is crazy. The old man, by the way, got a CT scan in my head to make sure he didn't do any real damage. I guess he's fine.
Oh, wow.
Now, the moral of the story is he had to get the CT scan because he got punched and they found a tumor or something in his head. And it's now he's getting like procedures on it.
Yes.
Something he wouldn't have noticed ever before. It's like when an athlete is like gets traded and they go through all the physicals and they find an ailment. It's like a blessing in disguise.
Yes.
So Clark gets his butt kicked and then gets his life saved.
He could get rehab because of this. He could change his life today because of this mistake.
Wow.
So he's got to thank that idiot who tried to steal beer.
If he doesn't get punched, who knows, right?
Exactly.
All right, let's go to Eric. What do you have?
Okay, I have a list of the most popular baby names in 2018. This research was done by Baby Center. They also studied different trends and stuff like that in names. I want to give you the top names, and I want to give you the caveat and why I like this article.
Baby?
So the top female names are Olivia, Sophia, Amelia, Lily, and Emily.
Mm-hmm.
This top male names: Muhammad, Oliver, Noah, George, and Harry.
What about that first one?
Muhammad.
Really?
Yeah.
Common, huh?
Well, that's the most popular name in the world, actually.
Is it?
Yes. You looked that up. Muhammad is the most popular name in the world. Yeah.
I guess it would have to.
Mm-hmm. So that's the one.
It's not George, huh?
The reason it's not. The reason I like this article is because for the last 2 years, the name Harvey was in the top 10, not even in the top 100 this year.
Hmm.
Because Harvey Weinstein. Who's going to name their kid Harvey because of that scumbag?
That's
so
right.
He dropped all the way out of the top 100 because of an awful human being.
Isn't that amazing?
It's great.
Harvey Weinstein, oh, we can't do that to our kid.
Yeah, nah, everyone's going to think of Weinstein if our kid's name's Harvey.
It's kind of like the idea of the name Judas, right? You can't do that to your son. Can't name your son Judas.
Exactly, that won't work if you call yourself Judas. Wow. Muhammad, give me the other male names you gave me. You said Muhammad, who else?
Oliver. Noah, George, and Harry are the top five.
Interesting.
Number 10 is Alfie.
Alfie.
People are naming their kids Alfie? Sorry to all those who are naming their kids Alfie out there, but why?
A-L-F-I-E?
Yeah.
You mean like the character Elf?
Kind of.
You know me, you mean the guy from NBC? Elf, you can't be here. It's a terrible 80s sitcom.
They're on Netflix now, so if you want to binge through the old Elf episodes, you can. Just so you know.
God, I watch that show high so often.
It's not a terrible show. It's not.
I don't know, remember watching it sober. But
well, I think that's why it's not bad.
I want to talk to you. I want to go to dinner. Elf, you can't have this.
Elf.
You have to sit in the attic. You can't be here. I'm going to have company over. This is Alf. Alfie as a top 10 name.
Yeah.
Never call my kid Alfie.
No, it just doesn't roll off the tongue whatsoever. Alfie. Imagine yelling at your kid Alfie. I'd start laughing at myself.
Do you guys know anybody named Alfie?
I do not.
Alfie? Anybody? Yeah.
No.
It's amazing.
Coming to an elementary school near you. Alfie's.
Alfie. All right. All right, Felix, what do you got?
Trailer full of chocolate goes up in flames in Iowa.
Oh,
I thought it was going to dump out.
Little plot twist there, guys.
Swerve.
That's one way to burn calories. Des Moines television station KCCI reports that a trailer carrying chocolate from Hershey, Pennsylvania. Oh, come on.
Oh, this is tremendous.
Caught fire on Wednesday along Interstate 80 near Dexter in west central Iowa. The Iowa State Patrol says the truck was headed westbound and had problems with its brakes, which eventually catching fire. The driver pulled off on the interstate onto a grassy area. The driver was able to unhook the cab from the trailer before the trailer was up in flames. There were no injuries.
Wow.
So it's like fondue, right? Just big melted chocolate.
That's the way we look at it. Yes, you really gave you did the swerve on me because I thought it was going to be just a tipped over truck,
just all over the interstate. No, just going up in flames now. See if we get any more of those stories moving forward.
I'm sure there's going to be a trend on those now.
God, I'm just thinking about how amazing that would smell. Like just in like the 2 mile radius of that truck burning like chocolate. I feel like that's going to smell amazing.
I wasn't even thinking of that. Eric, of course, is thinking of how it smells.
Oh, this smells amazing as I sit here through 3 hours of traffic.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. It's better than exhaust.
It's true. I will squeeze in one more. Can I squeeze in one more, Felix?
Pardon the expression.
Yes.
Thank you. Gatorland, Florida. Or Gatorland, Florida.
Gatorland.
Yep. Gatorland.
A man and a child became stuck on a zip line at Gatorland over a pool of gators on Saturday. The manager of the zip line said the situation is an everyday occurrence and happens fairly often. Really?
Shut down the zip line.
Right!
No, it's cool, man. They're always hanging over the alligators.
No way.
What? A man and his child were never in any danger, as the guides at Gatorland are fully trained in that particular situation. The manager says it usually takes 10 to 15 minutes to unstick people that are stuck on the zip line. Are you serious, man? Really?
Not cool.
Isn't that an easy fix? You just raise the one end a little higher? Like, isn't that an easy fix? Am I wrong? And I'm not, I like, kind of like thrill seeking. I'm not sure about ziplining over a bunch of alligators.
To say that this is a common occurrence and it's still in operation.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. It is Florida, though. It is Florida. There's probably no rules or regulations.
Shout out to Jim Ross, lastly. Is Jim Ross okay, Felix? Have you checked in on Jim? Because he did a New Japan Pro Wrestling show in San Francisco at the Cow Palace, right? And so the video is actually on my Twitter, twitter.com/tweetjhill. Just scroll down to Saturday, and you'll be able to see it for yourself if you missed it. Jim Ross there was a wrestler, I forgot the name of the wrestler, but there was a wrestler that drop kicked another wrestler into the guardrail, and that guardrail in kind had went into Jim Ross's table, and Ross did like an ass over tea kettle thing, where he goes over head over heels. There might be a broken rib situation.
He was depleted.
Yes. And we're trying to figure out if that's a work or not. Is he okay? Do you know?
As far as I know, he's still in the ER, but he'll get back to us. He'll let us know.
Still in the ER.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, he's like 70.
I know. Now I'm really concerned. What's the hip situation?
He's been tweeting, though.
All right.
In like the last 2 or 3 hours. So I'm guessing he's okay. He's promoting all his shows throughout the week.
Can we get him on? Is he going to be coming on?
I'll let you know.
Okay, I'm concerned about the old-timer, and that is Tales from the Hood. He's a friend of the program, but if he's got, like, a floating rib situation.
Floating? That sounds like a terrible situation.
Something you don't want.
Right, that's a problem. So
unless it's, like, a barbecue floating rib, then it's like, ooh, there's a floating rib left.
Good God, I got a floating rib! Floating rib! Floating rib! And he's in the barbecue business, so he would know about that. Some thoughts about the Cubs as they get ready to take on the Giants. Out of here!
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
All right, coming up, we'll get a chance to talk about the Cubs and the White Sox. Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago will be with us to talk about the White Sox. Also, more baseball with Tim Kurkjian and Brock Lesnar fans. We'll talk Brett Okamoto, who did a great job for covering the UFC for ESPN.com. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with Brock Lesnar as he took over the UFC card on Saturday. All part of the mix at our 9 o'clock hour as you're listening to Under the Hood. Stop it.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.